So we're in the book of Exodus, chapter 8, and we have our third handout. So with the handouts, you know what I'm going to talk about, and when I'll get started and when I end. So how's that? So chapter 8, verse 16. So we're dealing with the plagues. The plagues. And so you can be turning your Bible, so we do use the Bible here, and to turn your Bible to Acts chapter 8, verse 16. And Lord is dealing with hard hearts. Hard hearts. So the word behind harden, where we find out that Pharaoh had hardened his heart, same word that's used with Joshua when he's strengthened his heart. And so we all harden our hearts. We either harden our hearts in unbelief or in faith. So we all need to be working on hardening our hearts. But Lord willing, we're hardening our heart and strengthening our faith, not in unbelief. And so in this case, Pharaoh hardened his heart. In this case, Aaron hardened his heart. In this case, Moses hardened his heart. In this case, the Jews hardened their heart. In this case, the Egyptians hardened their hearts. And so, how do they harden their hearts? Either in unbelief or belief, faith or rejection. So, we recognize these great truths that we have here. All right, so we're looking at a battle going on. Looks like a 10-round fight between the Lord and Pharaoh. Who's going to win this one? Well, we know from Scripture how it turns out. So in 8, 16 and 17, so Exodus 8, 16 and 17, Scripture says here, and the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Our Father, we pray that you bless us, we pray. Thank you for the Word of God that you've allowed us to have, freedom to preach it and teach it and live it. We pray that you bless each one, speak to our hearts, we pray, and use the Scripture for our edification. Pray the Spirit of God will be our teacher today. We ask, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here we have the Lord is dealing with Pharaoh. And the Lord performed supernatural miracles relative to the blood and frogs. And he's dealing now with Pharaoh, who's hardened his heart so far, but remember, the whole goal of this is Exodus 6:3. So remember back there in Exodus 6:3, the Lord says to Moses, I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, El Shaddai. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. Now, obviously, they knew the name of Jehovah. We know that's very clear from Scripture. But they didn't know all about Jehovah and what he would do. In the next few verses, he gives five I will statements of who he is as the great deliverer. So this is what he's trying to demonstrate here. He, as Jehovah, he's the ultimate God. He's the only God. He's over all things, and he is going to deliver them. All right, and so we see with Pharaoh now, Pharaoh is beginning to learn who Jehovah is. But so was Moses and Aaron beginning to learn more about their God. And that's why the Lord's given us 66 books of the Bible, so we learn more about the Lord. When we get saved, we learn about Jesus, some basic truths. He died on the cross for our sins. He's a Savior, creator of the world, and so on. But as we study the Word of God, we see more aspects of him. And ultimately, it'll take us eternity to completely understand the eternal God, which means that since eternity doesn't end, we'll never understand completely about our eternal Savior. All right, so anyway, we come back to this. So as we're looking at the commentary here, round three. So this is round three. Began with Pharaoh battered but still defiant. He hadn't given up yet, still in the fight. The frogs were gone, and Egypt was back to normality, I guess you could say that. Without warning, the Lord commanded Aaron through Moses to strike the dust of the land with the rod, produce lice throughout. All right, now, it's not rice, so don't get excited. That's lice. All right. Anyway, but Psalm 105 talks about this. Psalm 105 gives many historical points and alludes to some of these passages. So 105, 30, 31, where we see in this context here, talks about frogs, and now in verse 31, he spake, and there came divers sorts of flies and lice in all their coast. And so the psalmist here testifies to what's happened in the past. Anyway, presumably this was the attack upon the deity Geb, the deity over the bounty of the soil. So remember now, the attack was upon not only Pharaoh, but the deities. So if you look there in Exodus chapter 12, this is what the Lord is doing. So the Lord wanted Moses and Aaron and the Jews to have some patience because he wanted to give a thorough upending of not only Pharaoh, but all of the deities of Egypt. And they had multiple deities for various things. They're polytheistic. So there, notice in 12:12 of Exodus, if I pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And again, something similar to this shows up here in Numbers 33:4 as well. He's going to deal with the gods of Egypt. So when Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh the first time, the Lord could have delivered the Jews. But no, he wanted everybody to learn through a lengthy section here who he was as Jehovah. And so they had to have patience. And so the Lord gives us a lifetime to learn about him. And we should be growing in our knowledge about him on a regular basis. We grow in his knowledge through Scripture. We grow in his knowledge about him and the way he deals with us. We grow in knowledge about him and the way he answers prayers. So we grow in these areas about who is Jehovah God, our Savior, and the triune Godhead. Anyway, Aaron obeyed. So here Moses and Aaron have learned to obey. Now remember, Moses gave five excuses why he couldn't serve the Lord. So, and these were dandy excuses. I mean, these were outstanding excuses why he couldn't obey the Lord. And the Lord brushed them all aside. There is no excuse for not serving the Lord. The best excuse you can come up with withers in front of God. And so he saved us to serve him. He died for all mankind, and he wants all mankind to serve him. Now, the majority of mankind will reject him and not serve him, but we who've received him, we need to serve him. And we're unique. We are to serve him in the unique capacity and opportunity he has given us. All right, and so anyway, Aaron and Moses obeyed, and the dust turned into lice upon man and beast throughout Egypt. The Lord's going to use other creatures later on in the book of Revelation. For instance, chapter 9 of Revelation, he's going to use these demon locusts to sting all of the unsaved people that have the mark of the beast during the tribulation time. So he'll do that for 5 months. And so furthermore, we notice the power of the Lord. Man was made from the dust. Genesis chapter 2, the dust. Afar is the word behind dust here. We were made from the dust. And now he's being attacked by lice from the dust. So we have the dust here. He creates God, a man, Adam, from the dust. And now he's going to create lice from the dust. So how complicated is that? Well, he's the creator. He can do any of these things. And so the Egyptians put Geb, G-E-B, I guess that was the name of this deity, over the dust. So, I don't know, do we have to overcome Geb all the time in our house? You know, think about that, you know. But anyway, the wise will get this joke. Anyway, man was made from the dust and attacked by the lice from the dust. All right, so in verses 18 and 19, we have the magicians did so with their enchantment. So here they were magicians to bring forth lice, but they could not. I mean, so we assume lice, King James accurate here. Other translations have no idea, so lice is good. I mean, using all their magic tricks, they couldn't bring dinky little lice into creation. Think of that. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. So think of this. So here we have, according to Paul, Moses had two adversaries known as Jannes and Jambres. Their names apparently mean something like he is vexed, as Jannes. And Jambres, the best can be come up with is foamy healer. I mean, so that's quite a name, foamy healer. So if you go to healers, don't go to foamy ones, right? There's a little lesson there. All right, so went to their deity Geb with enchantments and to prove that they could produce tiny little lice. And they could not. Now, apparently, in the blood and the frogs, they were able to reduplicate something. So, whether this is a magic trick or literally actually what they did, but the hayah verb there is the being verb in Hebrew, and indicates that it seems to indicate that they actually were able to do under the auspices of the Jehovah, the great creator, allowing them to create blood and frogs. But whatever the case is, these men with their magic tricks and so on could not produce tiny little lice. They could produce frogs, blood and frogs, but not lice. So here we're thinking like Pharaoh. What was Pharaoh thinking about? So my magicians, are they going to produce more lice and show how powerful they are? Well, that's just what we need. We need more lice. It's like we needed more frogs and we needed more blood, and they couldn't do that. So was we got to think about like Pharaoh. Was he relieved that they couldn't produce more lice? I don't know. Anyway, the magicians failed and admitted to Pharaoh that this is the finger of God. They say that. So notice here in 19, and the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hearkened, and hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. So in this, notice magicians failed and admitted, this is the finger of God. So the finger of God that shows up several other times in Scripture, Exodus 31, for instance. Let's see, we could look there. Exodus 31, 18. There are table stones written with the finger of God. So there's an expression of this. All right, so notice in their expression, it was not the hand of God. That's another expression in Scripture. They didn't say by the hand of God, but by one digit of the hand, the finger. So not the hand of God. In numerous places talks about the hand of God, but merely his finger. So I wonder if they're alluding to his pinky. His little pinky did it all. Can you imagine that? I mean, and we use that expression. well, I can take care of this, my little finger, you know, really. Back in high school days when we were tough guys, you know, and secular high schools and so on, I could beat you up with my little finger. I mean, this is carnal activity of unsaved people years ago. And I was part of that group, all right? But you know anything about that, all right? But watch out for my little pinky. I mean, it's a tough one. And but nevertheless, the heart of Pharaoh was hardened in unbelief. Hardened in unbelief. So he still has a hardened heart. So what's this mean? He's hardening his heart in unbelief. For numerous times, the Lord told Joshua and others to harden or strengthen their heart in belief or in faith. All right? So we are doing this. As growing Christians, we ought to be hardening our heart in faith. I can do this by the grace of God. If we think back in our early lives and so on, we're challenged by exercising faith and so on. We had tiny little faith and we nevertheless carried things out. Now some of the obstacles we have are far greater. But Lord willing, we've grown in faith, so now we have the faith to overcome a more difficult situation here. So we harden our hearts in faith. So then we see in 20 through 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth in the water, or to the water, and saith to him, thus saith the Lord of God, let my people go that they may serve me. So here, Pharaoh will go down to the water every morning. So the Nile was the place where he'd have his spiritual cleansing, as it were. Not just the physical cleansing, but he'd have to go down there to the sacred water of the Nile to be cleansed every day. So he knew that he needed to have the deity of the Nile to cleanse him and so on and so forth. And, of course, there is no deity of the Nile other than Lord God. He created the water, obviously. But think of this. Do we go to the Lord early in the morning and have our cleansing from the true God? All right? So let's don't let Pharaoh set a pattern for us, really. We already have this pattern before we read this about Pharaoh. So as we read through this, as the battle continued in round 4, Pharaoh knew that the powerful opponent was a God of Israel, here in 20 and 21. And obviously stronger than any of his deities so far. So where are the deities? Where are my deities? Of course, Pharaoh thought he was a deity, was deity as well. He thought he was a god. Remember, that's your Gnosticism. He's in the Pleroma. He's through works and this and everything else, he's trying to move up in the Pleroma. And your Gnosticism, this is just basic Gnosticism, Egyptian worship. And so he's deity, and his deities can't help out. Now he's in submission to Jehovah, who claims to be the great deity. All right, so the duo, reading in the commentary here, duo received instruction from Jehovah to meet Pharaoh, worshiping and washing, in the Nile, maybe some spot where baby Moses was found by the daughter of Pharaoh. Taking us back to Exodus 2:5. Remember that? His mother, Jochebed, sister put him in the ark. So maybe it's the same spot because this is where Pharaoh's daughter came down for her washings. And so this might have been a family spot. Now Pharaoh comes down. So Moses knows all about this spot. This is where they found me. Anyway, then the message was the same, but the plague was different. This time it was the swarms of flies in verse 21, which says here, else if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee and upon the servants and upon the people and into the houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. So different plague here. So I'm going to send the swarms of flies. The fly was a symbol of Egypt, by the way, in Isaiah 7:18. That's a different Hebrew word, but fly was one of their symbols here. We're told that. The deity was probably Capri, whose power was to control insects and pests. So remember, they had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of deities over every aspect of life. And so who's the deity over pests? Well, we have to call Capri to come out. Take care of this pest. All right, where's Capri when you need Capri? These pests came upon Pharaoh, his magicians, the people, the houses, and the ground. So in verse 21, the Lord's going to send the swarms of flies and upon the servants, upon the house. Servants would include the magicians here. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground wherein they walk. And so here it doesn't say that the magicians tried to produce more swarms of flies. I guess that's good at this point. But they found out that they failed with the lice. And so you see how the battle's going. Pharaoh's losing more ground along here, and so on. And the Lord's trying to demonstrate these truths to him. All right. And then verse 22-24. He says, "And I will sever in the day, that day, the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put division, or even redemption, between thy people, my people, and thy people. Tomorrow shall this be the sign be." And so he indicates this is the day this is going to happen. So the new truth is Jehovah would make a distinction between the Egyptians, the Hebrews, in regard to Goshen. Land of Goshen would not receive the plague, showing that Jehovah was not merely a local deity, but over all the earth, and specifically protecting Goshen in Egypt. Now, "I am the Lord," this expression that Jehovah made, takes on additional knowledge as to who is the Lord. Remember, Pharaoh asked that back in 5:2. So, look back there. Pharaoh says this in 5:2. "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." So the Lord wants the whole world to know who he is. He's revealed himself, creation. He's given every person a conscience. And he's given the commandments of his truth, starting off with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had some truth, passed on their children, all the way down to Noah. Noah took these truths over in the ark, passed on down to Moses. Moses writes down these truths. These truths come down to the Lord Jesus Christ. He writes more truth. We have these truths. So the whole world has had access to God's truth in written form or oral tradition through creation and with a conscience. So Paul said, no one's without excuse. Everyone is accountable to the Creator God, even though they want to deny, or they've gone to a school that says there is no Creator, evolution is what we believe in, and so on. All right, so the Lord is revealing who he is. It takes on additional knowledge to who is the Lord and the question. So Pharaoh asked the question, who is the Lord? And the Lord's showing, this is who I am, Pharaoh. What do you think about this? What do you think about this? So the division would start on the morrow as a sign to all, including the hard-hearted Pharaoh. So the Lord fulfilled the fourth plague, and corruption came, disrupting and contaminating the land. And so here we see the judgment comes in all of this. All right, in 8:25-26. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land." So that's not what they asked for. They wanted to go into the wilderness, not the land. Oh, here's a little trick. So Moses, I got a little trick for you. You can sacrifice in the land. You're not going to go in the wilderness. And reeling from the fierce blows of the Lord, Pharaoh developed a different strategy. He called for the duo and commanded with two imperatives that they go and sacrifice. You want to go and sacrifice? All right, I'll let you do that. Only you do it my terms. My terms. And Moses recognized the trick of Pharaoh here. He said, 26, Moses said, "Is it not meet so to do? For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians for their eyes, and they will not stone us?" In other words, killing animals and so on for their sacrifices would be an abomination to the Jews, because we've got deities over these animals and so on. And so Moses knows the trick. You're going to try to wipe us out. You're going to get all the Egyptians to try to kill us off. And if you kill us off, there won't be any more plagues, right? That's the way it works. That was his thinking there. So sacrificing their cattle and so on. All right, then 27-29. And he says, "We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he hath commanded us." So he's commanded us to go into the wilderness. And you've commanded us just to stay in the land. So we got two commands, two opposing parties. They're going to obey the Lord. All right. And so notice here on the place, in the place of Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, "I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away." So, all right, I'll give in, but I'm still giving you a command. Don't go very far away. Okay, so you got a weak argument there, Pharaoh. So so Moses countered with the original request to go 3 days in the wilderness and sacrifice. Proud Pharaoh agreed, but weakly, saying, "Don't go too far away." He desired to be entreated. So wait a minute. He's not asking one of his deities to do something. He's asking Jehovah through Moses to do something. Okay, so he's learning who is this Lord. Lord's humbling him. Now he's going down with his pride. "Don't go too far. Oh yeah, don't forget to pray for me and entreat me. Entreat for me." And so Moses agreed. But Moses knew Pharaoh. He'd already been told Pharaoh was going to harden his heart. "I know how it's going to work out, Pharaoh." So he gives a warning there in verse 29. "But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord." So here we're dealing with a deceitful man. So he gives them a warning. Moses agreed and warned Pharaoh about dealing deceitfully by changing the permission. Jehovah gave Moses the ability to make the art of the deal. Think of that. Since he had the spiritual advantage over Pharaoh. He had the advantage over Pharaoh. But he knew what Pharaoh was going to do. So in verse 30 and 31, "And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and he removed the swarms of the flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. There remained not one." Got rid of all those flies. "And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go." Just as the Lord promised or prophesied, and Moses recognized this as well. And so he reneged on his promise. So we see the character of the man. A lost man, Pharaoh. Little character here. Thinks he's a deity. He's a proud man. But he's being put down. So this is the Lord's overall plan. I could deal with him with one plague, but I'm going to stretch this out over 10 plagues so everybody knows who I am. And that's what the Lord does in our lives as well. When we're going through difficulties and so on, we're thinking, all right, I'm facing this difficulty. Lord, I'm asking you to answer prayer of my difficulty, and I'd like for you to take care of it by tomorrow. Yeah, by tomorrow, because I'm really struggling with this. And tomorrow comes, no. Next day, no. So the Lord's forcing us to live by faith, isn't he? We have to live by faith. Eventually it comes. answers prayer when we pray in His will. It comes, but we want immediate answer to prayer because I don't want to be challenged and tested anymore in growing by faith. And the Lord says, no, I'm going to stretch this out for a while. Eventually the prayer comes, answer to it, send His will, but it's not always immediate. Now, sometimes it's immediate and so on, but He was stretching this out. He wanted Moses to harden his heart in faith. He wanted Aaron to harden his heart in faith. He wanted the Jews to harden their hearts in faith. He wanted the Egyptians to harden their hearts in faith. And He wanted Pharaoh to harden his heart in faith, but instead He hardened it in unbelief. And the Lord only had to deal with him. Think of the compassion and mercy of the Lord. He gives us opportunity by stretching out and making our faith to grow by not answering immediately all the time. But He's compassionate. He loved Pharaoh. Did the Lord Jesus Christ die for Pharaoh? Did He die for all the magicians? Did He die for and the magicians, the Egyptians, and so on? Yeah, He died for them all. So He wants them all to trust Him, but not all did. And today He's died for all, but all today don't trust Him as well. And so we trust and hope and believe that any that are in the hearing of all this, if they haven't trusted the Lord as Savior, they'll do it today. Christ has died for all. We also want the Lord to help us in our faith to grow as believers and realize He has a plan for us. And He's orchestrating the plan. And He puts pieces in place here so His plan, which is far bigger than our plan, our egotistic little plan, all about me, but He wants what He's going to do for us to benefit others as well. And that's what He did with Moses, Aaron, the others, and even with Pharaoh. So we can learn from Pharaoh, right? We can learn from Pharaoh and Moses. We find out who is Jehovah really? Who is our Savior? Even we, right now, 21st century in America, we can grow in our knowledge of who is Jehovah. Our Father, we pray that You bless us. Thank You for the time. Open the Word of God. We thank You for the passage at hand. Pray that the Spirit will use this in our hearts and lives and help strengthen us, we ask. Bless in the concluding of the service and the mealtime to follow, we ask. And we'll thank Thee in Jesus' name. Amen.